Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an interesting interview because I've heard this name so many times. We've discussed it so many times. It's about the Maitreya. We're going to talk to Benjamin Krem. Hello, Benjamin.
Hello. How do you do?
Benjamin, tell us about the Maitreya. Tell us a story about it, please.
Well, Maitreya, for many people, it will be a new name, but there are millions of Buddhists, devout Buddhists, who all await the coming of Maitreya Buddha as a great world teacher sometime in the future. They have various ideas of the time, running from years to millions of years. In the same way as Christians await the return of the Christ, and Buddhists and Hindus await the return of Krishna, and Jews await the coming of the Messiah, these are all names for one and the same individual. The Lord Maitreya, the head and leader of this planet's spiritual hierarchy.
So what does the word Maitreya mean, please?
It really means the happy one, the one who brings happiness to humanity.
Is what you teach and follow, is it a religious sect?
No, not at all. And Maitreya is not per se a religious teacher. I'm what you would call an esotericist. An esotericism is something of an art, something of a philosophy, something of a religion, something of a practical way of handling our evolution. It's partly a science. It partakes of something of all of these different things. So it's not a religion, although one can talk about things in religious terms within it. But it is more a philosophy or the science of the art of evolution.
How did you discover him?
Well, I didn't discover him exactly, but I was approached way back in the beginning of 1979 by one of his disciples, one of the masters of wisdom, as they're called. Maitreya is the head and leader of a large group of masters of wisdom, and they run the evolution. They oversee the evolution of everyone on earth. That's their job. They are all men who need not be where they are. They need not be in incarnation if they are in incarnation. They're not all in incarnation. But even if they are, they don't need to be there. It's not necessary for them. They carry out their role as masters of wisdom, as a service to the world as a whole. They look after the world. They distribute the energies which bring things about. From their point of view, everything in existence is energy. All comes from energy. That energy is at various different frequencies. And depending on the frequency, you have the form of that energy. Our bodies are made up of energies, and they take the form they have as human beings according to certain laws inborn in the frequency of our energies. The dogs, the animals in evolution, are again in bodies of particular energy at particular frequencies and so on.
You say that they look after the world.
Yes.
Does that mean there are people in every country, or do they operate as a governing body? Or I'm trying to get my head around the fact that
yes.
they look after the world.
Yeah, they operate more as a governing body, but they have disciples of various degrees in every country of the world.
So are you a disciple?
I'm a disciple of one of the disciples of Maitreya, yes.
Now, let's just go back to Maitreya. I really want people to understand this. And I'm not a religious person. I've lost my religion. So if I've lost my religion because of things that have happened to me, would I get inspiration if I read up about the Maitreya?
Oh, I'm sure you would. I'm sure it's really nothing to do with religion. Maitreya says about religion, it's very important. It's very useful. It's like a ladder. It can help you to get onto the roof. But once you're on the roof, you don't need the ladder. You can give it away to somebody else.
So Maitreya's not a god?
He's not a god, except in the sense that from the point of view of the masters, we are all gods, all of us. Everybody in incarnation in the world is potentially a god. The difference between us and the master is that he has achieved and demonstrates that divinity. We have that divinity in potential, only, unfortunately, we don't demonstrate it at any great amount.
Does Maitreya have these disciples in government, in countries?
In government, there are disciples, yes, not masters. So far as I know, there is no government in which one of the heads of government, say, is a master. But he could be a disciple of a disciple of a master, or a disciple of a disciple of a disciple of a master. You know, the disciples are at various degrees.
So if Maitreya's not a god, what is his purpose?
His purpose is to show humanity how to live together in peace, in happiness. And he says it's so simple. It's so much easier than we realize. It takes only the sense, the realization that we are one. No matter what our color, our background, our religion, our traditions, where we live, which country we live in, we are all brothers and sisters of one great super being to whom we give the name of God.
So tell me, Benjamin, where does that sit with religion? Can you be a Catholic, a Christian, a Jew, and be a disciple for the Maitreya?
Absolutely. The masters and, of course, Maitreya himself have disciples who are in every religion and no religion. I'm not a member of any religion, but I can walk into a church or a synagogue or a temple with ease. I don't feel estranged if I am passing and take the notion to look into a temple or a church, and I maybe sit down and feel the energies of devotion built up in that particular church or temple, and then go away again. It doesn't make me a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or anything else, because to me these are all one. These are all different ways of going to the same end, achieving realization. The masters are all God realized. They are not gods in the everyday sense, that's God, but in the sense that they are all divine and they have realized that divinity. The masters make up a group together where the love aspect of God is realized and expressed. Humanity as a whole, from their point of view, from the master's point of view, is the source in the world where the intelligence of God is expressed. And there are higher centers. There's a center called Shambhala, which is the center where the will and the purpose, therefore, of what we call God is known. And we're all moving forward from one set of awareness, intelligence, to intelligence plus love, to intelligence plus love plus will, which takes us higher and higher and nearer the divinity, which is essential to all of us.
Benjamin, I have been told over the years, and I've always watched with bated breath over this, and waited, in fact, that that the Maitreya will come. Is he here now?
He is here now.
So he when is he going to show himself?
As soon as humanity is ready, and it's getting nearer and nearer the time. Today, we're at a time when humanity is awakening. From the Master's point of view, what we talk about as the Arab dawn, the Arab spring, is part of the awakening of humanity into who and what they are, that they are no longer the downtrodden servants of rich rulers, you know, who have nothing else to do but make money and be served. And this is happening not only in the Arab countries, but spreading out across the world. And it's response, really, to the energies and the teachings of Maitreya. Maitreya has been, for a long time now, talking, first of all, in the United States on television, and then in Mexico, and now in Brazil. And he's given some 60 or something, 64 talks or interviews on television.
Has he spoken as a Maitreya, or has he used somebody else?
Just as an ordinary person.
So why
is incognito.
So why don't we know who he is? Why can't we be told who
because
he is?
Because it is very important from his point of view that people respond to his teachings and the energy which flows all the time into the world from him, and wants for the world what he wants them to want. But he can't impose it on them. And so he is incognito, so that when people respond to him, when people arise and demand justice, when they want sharing and a right relationship with each other, they do so because it's in them, because they're responding to his teaching, not because they know who he is. If they knew that it was a man called whatever, Maitreya or Christ or Buddha or any of the Krishna, Messiah, any of the terms that the various religions give him and await him under, then they would say, ah, yes, I'm following him. He doesn't want them to follow him. He wants them to live what he is.
You're a disciple. Have you met him?
Yes.
So you are sworn to secrecy to tell us who he is. You can't tell us.
Exactly, yes.
What were your views and your feelings when you were finally allowed to meet him?
Oh, it was overwhelming. It's hard to talk about without crying. It's like touching the good that in anything that you've ever known that you can call good, from a child. The love for your father and mother and your brothers and sisters and so on, your friends. It's like coming home to that deep, deep sense of security that you've touched the core of what life is really about.
Benjamin, he lives then somewhere in the world as an ordinary person.
He lives in London.
Right.
He is so old you would not believe it, but in July 19th, 1977, he came down from where he had been living for thousands and thousands of years, high in the mountains of Tibet. And he came down on the 8th of July, 1977, in a body which he has created himself, which allows him to live at our level and yet to administer and work with all that he does at that great level of a supreme God-like being.
Did he ask to meet you, or was it in the presence of several people?
I was taken before him. I met my master, first of all, and was told that I had some part to play in the plan. I had no idea what it was. The plan is the plan of return of what Christians call the Christ, what Hindus call Krishna, what Jews call the Messiah, what Buddhists call Maitreya to the world.
Benjamin, did you have a long time in his company?
The first was, you know, it's kind of timeless. I don't think it was very long. I was contacted by another disciple, and he told me that the masters were trying to contact me. I said, no, they're not. He said, oh, yes, they are. And I've been sent to tell you that they are. I said, well, I don't hear anything. He says, no, the message has come to you, but they just bounce off you. I said, why is that? He said, because you're not open enough. I said, well, I mean, I knew about the masters, I'd read about the masters, but I wasn't expecting any kind of meeting with them or contact with them. They were just a kind of something away so far ahead of myself that I never expected any kind of contact. I did meet with a group and was told to get a tape recorder, and I got a little Grundig tape recorder. And this master began to give me long dissertations, which I recorded. I heard them and just recorded them, and he told me I could ask questions, but I was too kind of shy to ask questions, and so I didn't really ask questions. But he would talk for an hour or 2 hours at a time, and I didn't know it, but what he was doing, he was strengthening the telepathic rapport which he formed between him and me. Till a time came when he would just think something and I would immediately know it and respond to it. And then one day, a few months later, about March 59, he said to me suddenly, well, switch off the machine and kneel down. And I did this. And then he said, because our master, Maitreya himself, has something important to tell you. And I waited, and it was an extraordinary feeling. A great energy poured through my body and everything, my mind, my tears rolled down my cheeks, although I didn't feel pain or suffering or anything like that, or unhappiness, or tears of joy, I suppose. And then if I looked to the right, I could see I was inside a great white dome. And if I looked to the right, I could see all the events of the past which was still taking place, or still happening, row upon row, back in time. I thought I could recognize things from history and so on. And if I turned to the left, I could see things from the future, which had not yet taken place. And I could see Maitreya talking to the people. I could see the people running about. I could see me talking to the people. I went into the streets and I saw people running, crying for joy. They had just heard Maitreya speaking and they were so filled with joy. It was an extraordinary experience. And then I heard Maitreya's voice. I didn't see him then, but I heard his voice. He said, "I myself am coming sooner than anyone thinks possible. It will be in about 20 years. And," he said, "you will have a part to play in my coming if you accept it." Now, I was filled with love of all the world. And the only thing I could say was, "Right, I'm your man, whatever." He didn't explain what I had to do. It could have been anything, but I said, "Right, I'm ready to do it." So I was pledged to do it. And then gradually, this overshadowing, as it's called, stopped. I came back to normal, and the master said to me, "Well, pick up the microphone again." And he began to talk. He said, "Well, you've heard something today which has changed your whole view of things," which indeed it had. He said, "The time is coming when you will be expected to act upon it and affirm his coming."
Benjamin, I must ask, this, the Maitreya, the world teacher himself, has he many followers in the world?
Millions. In one of the early religious books, or kind of religious, spiritual books, called the Agni Yoga Teachings, which came through a Russian disciple, a very high-level Russian disciple, Maitreya says in it, "There was a time when 10 true men could save the world. Then came a time when 10,000 was not enough. I shall call on 1 billion. And a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I asked my master, "Has Maitreya got his billion people, followers, who can respond to him?" And he said, "A billion and a half." That was about 5, 6 years ago. It's now nearly 2 billion, 1.85 billion.
Benjamin,
ready to respond to Maitreya.
Benjamin, to finish off, I've got to ask, you've got 2.5 billion people. When he finally appears, how will that change the world, briefly?
Maitreya will come on radio and television, and everyone could see him if he looks at television. This will be arranged by the media throughout the world. Every country, of course, different times throughout the world. They will see Maitreya, but he will not say a word. But his thoughts, his ideas, will enter the minds of every individual who's listening to this broadcast. And it will be a telepathic response which he will evoke from everybody in the world. So everyone will hear them in their own language. We'll hear them in English, French and French, Russians and Russian, Chinese and Chinese, and so on and so on. And he will give this appeal to humanity, not to follow him, but to change. I can tell you, he spent 3 weeks in Tahrir Square in Cairo at the end of the rising of the people in Cairo, and talked to the people and taught them how to go on, how to look after each other and so on. And he will speak to humanity and ask them to share the produce of the world. He says nothing, he's talking about the starving millions, he says nothing so moves me to grief as this shame. The crime of separation must be driven from this world. I affirm that as my purpose.
Benjamin, if anybody out there wants to find out more about this, how can they?
Well, they can look up our website. It's www.share-international.org, and it's a huge website. There's a fantastic amount of information.
And my last question to you, how are you funded? How is this organization funded?
Everybody is paid not a penny. Everyone is working gratuitously, you know, for nothing throughout the world, in dozens and dozens of countries, throughout America and Australia and Canada and Japan and South America and all over Europe, every country. It's worldwide, and no one is paid a penny.
Benjamin,
that's how it works.
Benjamin Cram, I've wanted to interview you for many, many years. Thank you very much for spending half an hour with me.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.